It's been a while. Nice to meet you again. Glad to be back. I'm old. Who said yes? It's cool. I am. 2 weeks in a row, I was with teenagers, and God has blessed me. I'm still alive. Right? Stephen clapping back there. Woo! Right? Week at camp, God moved. Shouldn't we expect that? Why don't we expect it here? Maybe we do, maybe we don't. Next week, I had 2 days to reprieve, get my laundry done, go down to Tampa, Florida, hang out with 12,000 crazy Nazarenes. And I want you to know, sometimes in our world, it is easy to look and go, man, it is bleak for our future. Go to NYC and you'll go, whew, it is not bleak. There are pastors, there are missionaries, there are lay people in this congregation of 12,000 people that are going, man, we got a future with God. I'm excited for our church. I'm excited where we're going. I'm excited how God is going to use these people today, tomorrow, for our future. And no, God is bigger than everything that we see in the news, everything that we get depressed about, everything that we go, oh, I don't think there's a future for us. God's bigger. He's bigger than stats. He's bigger than sin. He's bigger than this world, all right? And I saw it in the faces, in the faith of our teenagers. I want you to know, yes, I felt old, but at the same time energized because, man, I was excited to be in his presence because they were excited to be in his presence. Now, church, it is easy to get caught in this thought process. I've done it myself to go, okay, the teens went to camp. The teens went to NYC. Man, they're going to come here, woo, and bring that fire, right? And it's easy to go, man, I want that fire. I need them to be the leaders in that. And as a pastor, it's easy. As a youth pastor, it's easy to go, man, I'm banking on this. But I want to turn our thoughts to another thought here. Instead of just banking on them to bring the fire, church, why don't we bank on God to bring the fire? Church, why don't we be prepared to also be excited just to be in his presence? Be excited to be here for these teens to go, okay, we got you. We've known you've had 2 weeks of just, whoo, amazing stuff. I want you to know that is the same God I serve, that I'm excited to be in his presence too. And I'm here to mentor you, to love you, disciple you. See, we tend, as we get older, to bank on our youth to be the involvement of our spiritual fervor. But it was never meant to be that way. In fact, our youth are looking at us going, is this how we do church? Our young adults are going, are you guys authentic in your faith? You say it, you defend it, but can I see you live it? Man, I want us to be that church. I want us to have testimonies of how we have been having encounters with God at our work, at our home, how God is transforming us this morning, right? Right? Like, we want that. I think you want that. In many ways, I think we have forgotten how big God is, how amazing God is. I think we have forgotten that in our lives, we have become a miracle to be in this point with Him. There's a lot of people that don't know the grace and the hope and the love and the mercy that is offered to them. They don't know it. And we have the honor and privilege and the gift of knowing that we have a life that is beyond this. That we have hope in this. That we have love in this. That we have been forgiven of all that. We've got to stop holding that in. What if we worshiped understanding that in this moment? What if we came prepared and understanding how big God is, how holy God is, and not worried about our car, or worried about family, or worried about all these other things that come with it, whether I get to sing, or whether they sing my song, or if the pastor's going to entertain me. Like, that is not part of it. It is about God. This month, we're going to be talking about being set apart. We're going to be doing a series called Set Apart. And what set apart is this word, holy. Holy, in the meaning and of understanding of what holy means, is to be set apart. Other. The greatest other. Right? And as I was preparing for this morning, all I could think about in my days as a kid, I have this green trunk that I have kept with me since I was a kid. And it has all the greatest toys that I didn't want to be ruined. I didn't want to be bent. I didn't want, like, ice. They're nice and clean. They're set apart from the rest of the toys that I didn't care about. Right? I have baseball cards. And in this trunk, even in the trunk, like, the trunk is the first step. The second step is putting them in this plastic case, this hard plastic case, so they never bend. And I get to look at them, right? And in my mind, they're worth something. And I set them apart. Right? I started thinking about this with God. And he talks about this a little bit in Leviticus. And we're going to be going through Leviticus with this, all right? So this is our main verse. I want you to study this verse. It's 11, 44 through 45. So as we read for the month, this is our main verse. So, like, I love being able to attach ourselves as we go through a series to a verse or to a Bible, to a book, and going, okay, this is what we're going to study. And so I would love for you to study this. I'd love for this to be part of what you think about for the next month, right? So it starts with this. I am the Lord your God. Okay. Consecrate yourselves and be holy. Because I am holy. I want to stop right there. There's so much within that first sentence, woo, that is so powerful. First off, the declaration, I am your Lord, your God. And it's not a statement of, like, question, am I your Lord, am I your God? It is a statement for all. I am your Lord, your God. There is no options. There's no other, you can't make a choice to make him your Lord or God. He is. It's whether or not you acknowledge it as being your Lord and God. Right? In a house of miracles, we acknowledge he is our Lord and our God. That should bring us hope. It should bring us understanding of why we're here. Right? It's great to be with friends. It's great to be with worship. It's great to have this moment and love people and be part of being loved. But the reality why we're here and the only thing that makes this important for this morning is God. Right? And he calls us to consecrate ourselves, to be holy. Now, I'm going to talk about what it means for us to be holy in a couple of weeks. But I want to talk specifically of what God as being holy. He is set apart. See, Moses had this moment. I hope you know who Moses is. He's kind of a big character in the scriptures, Old Testament. He has a big role in God's plan, right? And he's bringing people, he saves people, really, right? He takes them out of slavery. Do you think a person that leads people out of slavery should question his call? Because he did. He questioned God's bigness. He questioned who God was. Like, God, listen. In Exodus 33, he goes, God, listen, if this is your call, show yourself. All right? Now, this is a crazy moment. Like, this is a crazy request. Because God is so holy, our earth has fallen, right? Adam and Eve were created by God to have a relationship with God that was so pure, right? And they were told one thing, please do not eat of the tree of knowledge, right? Don't eat of it. It's not good. You don't want it. It won't be good for you. And what happens? We eat, we fall. Sin is introduced. And all of a sudden, our world is corrupted. Not just people, but our world. Sin is so powerful. It has corrupted our world. Where we did not know pain, we did not know age, we did not know frustration and cheating and malice and cancer and just all that stuff was not part of this until we invited it into this. Understand? And God is so holy, so set apart, He cannot be where that is. He cannot embrace sin at all. He is set apart from it. That if He were to show His face to somebody like us that is with sin, it would burn us alive. We wouldn't be able to handle it. And so Moses requesting this, asking for this, was a big deal. And it wasn't that God ignored him. In fact, He said, listen, you cannot handle, I love you so much, you can't handle my presence. You just can't. It would tear you apart, literally. And so I will show you my glory. Which is amazing. Like, that is an essence of God. Right? If you think of like somebody going, I'm going to show your glory. You go, wait a minute. Hold on. Because that can be interpreted in so many ways. But with God, it is so pure and so innocent. And He has this glory to be shown. He shows towards Moses and his people, and they were amazed and they were transformed. And I think that's what's happening with us. We are transformed because of God's glory has been shown to us, and we understand it, and we are amazed by it. And all of a sudden, man, we tremble at His feet. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed because we understand His glory. We understand His holiness. And it is to be set apart from everything else in our life in a way that dictates everything else in our life. If we were to say who we are, if I asked you, so what do you do? What's your life about? How do you live? I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm a worker. I work at this. I'm a mailman. It's easy to find our understanding of who we are by what we do. Our circumstances that we find ourselves in, right? I'm a grandparent now. I'm not. Right? But it's easy to find our understanding of who we are in our circumstances, right? In a couple of, a month or so, we're going to have college students in here going off, right? I'm a college student, right? I want you to know, the moment we understand the glory of God, He comes across and He transforms our life, and that miracle has happened, and we understand His holiness. Woo! He has changed me. Forever. I am a God follower. I have set this apart from everything else, and in this, everything else flows. Get it? Because God is so holy. We strive for that holiness. We understand that holiness. That holiness, we come before it with fear and trembling. Breath could wipe this out. That the God with His breath gave us life. A God with His voice gave us light. That's who we follow. Imagine approaching the throne in a manner that is disrespectful. Imagine approaching a parent with an attitude that is disrespectful. Imagine approaching a boss with an attitude, "You're an idiot." Imagine approaching a stranger and going, "How dare you?" Like, these are just little things in reality. But boy, I feel like we do this with God so easily. That we treat our relationship with God with unholiness. And we've gotten holiness backwards, just like the Old Testament did. God gave us what? 10 commandments. You know what we did as a church, as followers of God? We turned that into like 250 things that are crazy. Right? Now, we tried really hard to go, okay, we got 10 minutes. God gave us a great start. We can make it better. So Sabbath, don't work on the Sabbath. Okay, all right. So we'll limit how many steps people can take. And I just thought, like, man, you keep a clicker next to you and on that last step before it, how much work would it be just to stay in this position? Right? And I've been hanging out with too many teenagers. I just think if you run out of steps and you have to use the restroom, that's going to be a mess. But they were that literal with their relationship with God. And holiness became stuff that they couldn't do. Holiness became a check mark of how to live, right? And how not to live, really. And the only way to be holy is understanding the holiness of God and recognizing it. Only way to be holy is recognizing that God has transformed this, and the only reason I'm this person, the only reason I live here and breathe here and understand that my life is more than here in this moment, I have been redeemed, I have been resurrected with Him. The old Ben is no longer, the new Ben has been reborn in Jesus Christ, right? Right? And we live in that, and it is only through Him, not my actions. I know. Like, it's that we think we can earn it. We think we can deserve it. No, we don't deserve His holiness. We don't earn His holiness. We cannot do that. I thought about waking up this morning and putting a suit on, and I rethought that. Right? It's too hot. I just don't feel comfortable in it. But I thought, man, if I sat in a suit, and it's kind of mean because I would set you up, and I bet you probably a lot of you would be like, man, you look so good. You finally look like a pastor. Right? You got holy over NYC. Right? Am I wrong on that? Like, we kind of have that mentality sometimes, that we look at the outer presence of a person and go, they're either holy or not by what we see. We also look at the actions of people and go, they're holy or not, because I see how they talk, I see how they walk, I see what they say. Woo! There's no holiness. Right? I want you to know, it is nothing by what I say and how I do and how I look that makes me holy. The same goes for you. It is only through God, because His holiness is all set apart from everything else. And when we accept that and understand that, His glory shines down on us, and we are moved and transformed, and guess what starts to happen? We do not make ourselves unclean by the creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. It doesn't say be holy and stop there. It says the only way you can be holy is because we acknowledge God is holy. When we start to acknowledge God as being holy, we start to understand what holiness is in our life. It is not by our own making. Moses had an encounter with God at a bush. God was speaking through a bush. Fire in a bush, right? First off, the bush wasn't being consumed. Crazy. Right? And then all of a sudden, it starts speaking. Okay, what drugs did I take today? Right? That's my first question for me. Moses is amazed. He starts to walk up. And what does God say to him? Take off your shoes because this is a holy place. Okay. I think within our minds and our hearts, I think we need to start taking our shoes off to recognize that God is in this place and he's making it holy. And what I think what that means for us, it is not by our own making that we can make anything holy. It is not by my dress. It is not by my attitude. It is not by those things, but his holiness that affects my dress and affects my heart and affects how I love. And it's recognizing that. It's understanding that. So we have this moment with Moses, right? We have this moment where he's calling for God's glory and there's a separation between us. And who became that bridge? Jesus did. And I want you to know, there's a statement that Jesus says, he could come and tear down this temple. In 3 days, he would rebuild it. And the people there are like, this guy's... what is wrong with this guy? And I want you to know what he was meaning there. Through his resurrection, which happened in how many days? 3 days. And was he raised in? He was raised back to life, was he not? He was alive. And who? What is he rebuilding? The temple, which is what? The connection to who? God. Right? Jesus is our connection to our Creator, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Lover, our Savior. Jesus told it before it even happened. I can do this. Come to me. We want to be in Jesus or in God's presence, guess who we go to? We allow Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our life. We allow him to redeem us. We allow him to forgive us. Who makes us holy? He does. Man, does it change how we speak? Does it change how we interact? Does it change how we treat people? Man, it should. I will tell you, it is easy to walk out in this world. It was easy in Tampa to go, I can tell who is and who isn't, right? I had an interaction, me and another youth pastor, we were walking and they saw all these teens and evading Tampa. And like the people of Tampa are like, this is crazy. It's ruined our traffic. It's ruined our lunch places. It ruined our dinner places. Like, come on, guys, leave. And then all of a sudden we get put, like this couple comes up, nice couple in a nice car, and they pull up and roll down. And why are you guys here? Who are you guys? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I was like, well, we're part of the Nazarene Church. We have this convention we do every 4 years, now every 3 years, it's crazy, and we bring teenagers, and we worship God, and we love on the city, and we love God, and we just praise God during this time, and the person goes, you know, she goes, oh, man, let me shake your hand, right? Shook our hands, you guys are doing work, right? And then has some explicit words for us for the world. This place is, and you can fill in whatever the blank you want, right? You see, this is the reality. We have a change in our hearts, in our understanding of who God is, and we understand this world is not that. Through God, all things are possible, and we had a mission while we were there to change people's lives, to change them, because God changed us. He used 12,000 people to reach out to the community, and we did things that just changed that community. I want you to know, it doesn't have to just be Tampa that we live this way. It doesn't. We can be a community weekly, monthly, yearly that does something to show this community, hey, we love God. God is holy. And they go, why do you do this? Because God is holy? Because God has changed my life? Why do you do this? Why do you help us? Why do you change things? Why are you out doing things in the heat? Why are you loving people? This is what's crazy. I got to be a part of a, it's called Ministry with Others thing down in down in Tampa. And our job as our region was, right, we have the Illinois region, we had the Michigan region, I can't remember what other region we had, but we built these stand-up gardens. And it was not easy, right? No, they gave teens power tools. That'll test your faith. We had saws. Everybody has their fingers. Woo! All right? We had drills. Everybody had their eyes still, like, we're good. Like, and we made these things. They stand about this tall, right, and this wide, and they hold gallons, and they help people stand up while they garden, right? And we made over 100 of those things, and they were not easy. It was with 2x4s. It was a job, and we did this in a garage, like one of those big garages, and if you've been down to Tampa, they got humidity. They don't have wind. They have heat breathing down on you. It's awesome. And they did it in a garage that had no ventilation. It was hot. I didn't hear a single complaining. Now, I could have turned my ears off, but I didn't hear any complaining. I saw teens struggling at putting things together, but they didn't quit because they struggled. Whew, that teaches, that preaches right there, right? They finished it. Whether they finished one or finished five, they finished, right? And I got to take a group of teens to deliver these, and we unloaded all 100 of these at this garden. And the person that was in charge wasn't there, but I got to talk to somebody else, and it was in this impoverished part of Tampa. And this ministry is for 60 and above, and it's gardening. And they were getting to the point they couldn't garden anymore. I was pretty much there too. Right? Can't bend over, can't grab, and trying to get back up is tough, right? No. That's right. And so they built these to stand up, and I want you to know that they said the impact that we will have on that community is eternal, because they will be able to build, like, make fruit, make food, be part of a productive feel in their community and love on people. And they're not just making food for themselves. They're not just making this. It is food for them to give out. Guess what? That'll preach too. We don't come to just take God in with his holiness. It comes and resides and spreads through us. It consecrates everything about us. I guarantee you, and I'm right there, there are things in your life, there's probably thoughts in your life, this is so unholy. It's not part of God. And God doesn't come in and go, you evil, horrible human being. He comes in and goes, allow me to have that. I will transform this into holiness. That is the promise. That is love. That is kindness. That is grace. And he comes and transforms you. And guess what? We come to a point of like, I am no longer ashamed of who I was because I am free in God's holiness. And I can easily share that message with everybody else. Where I once was a cheater, God redeemed me, and I am connected to him only. And I will ask for repentance, and I will ask for forgiveness. Where I once was a liar, I can only tell the truth, and I will own up to what I said. Where I once was a gossiper, God now has my tongue, and all I can say is positive things. Like, I want his holiness to entrench me. The more we are without God, the more we are corrupted by the things that we cannot control very well. He comes in and amputates the areas of our life that damage us, that hurts us. We may feel really good for a moment, but it's a very, very temporary relief. Whereas God comes in and comes in with his holiness and changes it, and it may be painful at first, but it's so freeing. Church, In 1 Peter, he says this, "Therefore, with our minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you've had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Listen, we can only live a life that is holy, not by what we dress, not by what we say, not by any of that stuff that we think holiness is, right? It is only through God and recognizing his holiness and setting it apart and going, "I will honor this, I will cherish this, I will worship this, because I owe my entire being to God. He is holy." And in that statement, he goes, "Okay, I'm going to make you holy." You hear that? He is holy. Therefore, I make you holy. It is not by any actions of mine, it is acknowledging his presence in my life and what he has done and what he continues to do. And it dictates all my actions from this point on. But I have to set him apart. He cannot just be an avenue of my life. He cannot be just some thing that I do. He has to be purposely placed in a place that is in front of everything else. And I go, okay, I work through him. I have friendships through him. I have conversations through him. I have encounters with people through him. I'm able to forgive through him. I'm able to ask for forgiveness through him. Do you start to see it? You start to understand? And imagine if we change our view and how we look at this world and we go, "Man, I want to see this world through God's eyes." Man, it changes how we see people and it changes how we interact with people, because God loves his creation so much that he sent his son to die for it. Are you ready to live a life with God that is set apart to acknowledge him as holy? That's the question I want you to leave with today. Stand with me, church. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this week we are able to put you, you're already on the throne. May we recognize that you're on the throne. May we say yes to you being our Lord. You're already there. Lord, may we say yes to it. I pray this week that we acknowledge your holiness. I pray that we this week that we understand that you want to do a good work in us and that you want to show your glory before us. Lord, I pray that we are ready for that. I pray that we want that and how it will transform us and how we will be your miracles today. Encourage us, Lord, to see your holiness, to speak of your holiness, to live out your holiness, Lord. Lord, may we set you apart from everything else and acknowledge who you are. Know you are our maker and redeemer and creator. That you sit on the throne of our lives. That you sit on the throne of all. May we live out this faith with fear and trembling, because how amazing and how big you are. We praise you this morning. We give you all the glory because you deserve all the glory. Help us acknowledge your holiness. We give you all the praise. Amen. You're dismissed, church.